الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. I make intention, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, whatever I speak regarding this topic will be solely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. O viewers of Madni Channel, you also make intention that you will listen from the beginning to the end, that important points you will note and you will act upon it, and that you make intention, inshallah, to practice upon the good points and also pass it to those who are not present, and also make intention that you will encourage others to watch this program and to benefit from it. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the person who recites 80 durood a day, 80 years of his sins will be wiped off. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. The series to veil or not to veil, that is a question. Alhamdulillah, we will be talking about the position of women in a Muslim society in this day and age. We learned in the previous episode about the treatment of women during the pre-Islamic culture. And we learned that almost every culture, women were exploited, and even renowned scholars and philosophers wrote degrading things about women. And in this day and age, if you have some women who are oppressive to the women, and who believe these kind of things, this is part of their heritage and it has got nothing to do with Islam, because Islam does not teach this. In Islam, a mother, according to Islamic theology, is 3 times more honorable than the father. And also our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honoring woman, honoring the mother, says that Jannah can be found under the feet of the mother, which means showing love and respect to your mother can be your salvation in the day of Akhirah. And a mother is a woman. But the Holy Quran says something which is absolutely natural and rational, in that the man is stronger than the woman, and that is well known. Therefore you find even in sports, men and women don't take part together, because men are normally stronger. Therefore, man is capable of shouldering more responsibilities and in connection with obligation towards the family. All these obligations, responsibilities are placed on the shoulders of man and not on the shoulders of women. All the women have been given under certain circumstances, freedom, economic freedom to fend for herself under certain circumstances, but largely the economic unit of a family is really that the man should be the head of the family. So therefore, most of the obligation and responsibilities are placed on the shoulders of the man to run the affairs of the family. This is very similar. That in any organization, in order to operate it efficiently, you got to have someone heading that organization. Whether it is state, whether it's family, whether it's an educational institution, whether it's an inter, in, industrial organization or whether it's a country. You've got to have one leader, and then you'll have obviously order. So this status of being the head of a family is given to the man. So therefore, naturally man should be in charge of a family. But if the husband rules as a dictator, it is not according to the Holy Quran. The law has been laid down that there's a certain way a man has to behave in his family with mutual consultation. That means you've got to consult with the family. The verse of Holy Quran in the 42nd surah, Surah Shura, consultation, verse 38, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, believers are those who conduct their affairs by mutual consultation. All the affairs of the followers of Islam are to be conducted on the basis of mutual consultation. That means two parties have to consult with each other, and they should be almost equal in status, because you cannot consult or do consultation with a slave. And it also has to be a person who's free. And therefore, a woman, if she's regarded in the family as a slave and downtrodden, that means she will never be consulted. She will be dictated to and dominated. And this is where you have friction in the family. So it is a fact that women are more delicate in their personality, biologically and psychologically. It's easier to damage a woman than to damage a man. Men generally are more polygamous by nature, whilst women are generally, we're talking in generally, more monogamous. That means one relationship by nature. Therefore, if the husband plays tricks on her or cheats her, it hurts her very much more. So in this connection, Islam has taken a great care to appeal to the Muslim men to be very careful of the rights of the woman. To the extent, with regards to husband and wife, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that he is the standard of dignity and honor of how a mu'min should behave towards his wife. And our beloved Rasul ﷺ has mentioned, the best of you is he who is best with his wife. And this is the standard. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was so careful about this that he gave it, when he gave the Charter of Human Rights, the first human rights was given by our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the farewell sermon, in the farewell pilgrimage, which is very famous. And he mentioned this particularly about women, especially the wives. He said to the Muslims, O Muslims, remember that your wives are a trust of Allah Azza wa Jal in your hands. Be careful. You will be called to account on the Day of Judgment by Almighty Allah. Remember that if there is something which is a trust from Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most mightiest and He is the Creator, how important this trust must be. So how could men in our societies dishonor the woman and ill-treat them? Yet, how strange, the first human being that they became conscious of when they were born was a woman, their mother. Have they forgotten her love, her gentleness, her caring and soft nature? This generally is a natural nature of most women, the softness. How could they ill-treat a woman? With all that has been mentioned about the honor of women in the Holy Quran and by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Ahadith. She is important because it is she who gives birth to all the great teachers of mankind. It is in her lap that every civilization begins, and civilization can also die in the lap of the woman. Now, we have to be very careful of our women folk. If we don't want our Islamic culture and our Islamic values to die out one day, can happen, and you can see rapidly the values of Islam are being eroded. We see this happening, how Western values are creeping into our lives, and their culture is being adopted by us in Muslim homes. Muslims are living, especially those living in Western countries. If we don't take care and give the woman at home a proper education that they need to develop the coming generation, then what is going to happen to our Islam? What's going to happen to our Islamic culture? And when that happens, you're going to find there'll be turmoil. There'll be no peace in society. Remember, Islam is a religion of all nations. Islam is a religion of peace. Islam has a solution to all the disharmony and all the conflicts and all the problems of the world. So we should be living, practicing and teaching Islam to the rest of mankind. But it should start in our homes. So how does it start in our homes? Teaching our women folk. And this, we find, unfortunately, in many homes, it's far from that. In many homes, what do you see? Western culture creeping in. You find a woman, when they get up, the first thing, TV. This mother is responsible for the future generation, the future leaders. So what kind of leader is she developing? Can you see how important it is for the mother to know Islamic values, to live Islamic values? Imagine the same child, if she sees the mother getting up in the morning, reading Fajr Salah, sitting in the Musalla, reading her Tasbih, reading the Holy Quran, reading Kitabs. So the child will be brought up in an atmosphere knowing that these are the right values that she must follow. When she sees a child at the time of Zuhr leaving the kitchen and going and reading her namaz, the child knows this is a natural way that a Muslim must live. And when the child sees at the time of Asr, the mother is going reading Salah, at the time of Maghrib, at the time of Isha, the father is coming in, rushing to the masjid, reading Salah, the father rushing to the masjid at the time of Fajr, reading Salah. So this is the atmosphere the child is used to. And when the child comes to a foreign kind of atmosphere, he becomes distressed. But unfortunately, we find many homes, namaz is far away from the thought of the mothers. They are busy enjoying this life. If it's on the TV, it is on the phone, talking to somebody for hours, gossiping, lying. And the child is watching this. So can you see how important is one to give knowledge, deep knowledge to our children, to make them know what is important, because they are the first university of a child. The woman is the queen of her home. She is the ruler of the home to the extent that when the man comes home, he should ask her permission to enter. Don't think that the Muslim woman has been given any duties. Islam feels that she does a very important duty and a very important job. She brings up those who are born in the family, teaches them Islamic values and Islamic culture. She lays the foundation of that social order in which she lives and the children are born in. She looks after the home and she provides for that man peace and comfort, and her role is very important. But what does modern philosophy say? It says that because man and woman are equal, that both should work and both should earn the daily bread, the woman should not sit at home like a queen, but she should go out and earn just like the man because they're both equal. This culture says that, why are you sitting at home and being comfortable? You should go through all the hardships that your husband is going through. Go to the factory and office and go and earn. What a beautiful notion, shame. So our woman folk are now unconscious of the bad impact this kind of lifestyle is having because of the effect of that anesthetic that they are being injected with as well. So both parents are earning and both need to work. Because what is the reason? They are constantly increasing the standard of living. They can't do with a simple life. What will the relatives think of them? Their friends won't show them any respect if they drive around in an old car, if they have old furniture, if they eat simple food. So you have to keep upping your standards to a level that you can barely sustain this artificial, newly acquired standard of living, just to please others. So the people will start accepting you in the pompous circle and you feel part of the elite. So both of you have to work hard. You have to pay for that prestigious school your child is demanding because His friends' parents can afford to send them to this expensive private school. The cousins are going to the school, so you have to send them to the school. So both parents have to work hard, chase to earn money day in and day out. So who is taking care of the children while they are busy trying to sustain this kind of artificial lifestyle that they can't afford? But they have to keep this image that they are successful. How successful? Working day in and day out, coming home tired, your child is not being supervised. What happens? No supervision. Child gets involved in bad company, and we hear about this, we read about this, we see this all the time. Child gets involved in bad company because the parents are there not to, they don't know who the child is mixing with because they're not around. Child gets involved in drugs. And unfortunately, we find that this over-permissive society, their culture is entering our homes. And you find that whatever programs are shown on TV, our families are watching. So all of a sudden, it becomes acceptable. So my dear viewers of Madhi Channel, inshallah, in this series, we will be covering in this very great and very important kitab, written by Amir al-Sunnat, Parde ke bare mein sawal jawab. Inshallah, a lot of things will be covered here, that once you understand what's in this book, you will realize what protection you have in parda. Inshallah, keep watching this series, you will come to know, you have to be convinced that what Allah Azza wa Jal has prescribed for you is best for you, not what shaitan has prescribed. So we are angry Allah Azza wa Jal by following shaitanic culture, because this culture that is around is not Islamic. If it's not Islamic, it means the shaitanic. Because remember that this eye that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you, you can use this to please Allah Azza wa Jal, or you can use this to please shaitan. You'll find that only in Islam we have solution to the world's problem. And we as Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with true guidance. So we should be helping to guide ourselves. That means as parents, guide our children. Don't leave them loose to do what they want. Because it's mentioned, when a plant is growing bent, and you leave it to grow bent, it'll become a bent tree. He says, when the plant is bent, if you leave it to grow bent, it becomes a bent tree. And then when you try to straighten this tree, you'll break it. See, that happens with children. If they are growing crooked, if they've got bad qualities, bad habits, and you are doing nothing to correct it, they are going to become that kind of adults. And when they've acquired this bad habit, it's very difficult to change them. So while the tree is young, if it's bent, make it straight, it'll become a straight tree. Similarly with your children. Guide them, be there to guide them. Do not be so preoccupied with only earning money, when that money is doing nothing regarding moral education and tarbiyat for your children. You're only worrying about their outer needs. There are many, many stories about people who have provided for their families, and today they are crying. They're crying because they cannot understand, and they feel that we're giving our children everything financially. You think the child is only worried about your financial help? What about his moral upbringing? What does Islam teach you? That is why Islam says the mother's place is in the home. She is the first teacher. She is the first university of the child. She is the one that should know about deen. She should be more interested in the character of a child. The father should worry about doing this. But the reason, as I mentioned, is we want to live a lifestyle more than we can afford. So therefore, everyone has to go and work. Or they go marry somebody outside the religion, and now we have to rush. The person marries somebody out of the religion, and you are busy earning money and providing for the financial needs, and your child has become murtad. Your child has become drug addict. Your child has become this and that, a gangster. And you are busy earning money, and how is it helping you? Now can you see, Islamically, the role of a mother? Dawud Islami is involved. Dawud Islami has recognized the value of teaching our sisters, our mothers. Because it's realized that they have a very important role to play in our community. And to be successful, they need to have the knowledge to know what is right and wrong. And alhamdulillah, We have in our homes Madni channel. And Madni channel you watch, it is a muballigh in your home. It will teach you, it will correct you. It will show you how to live as a Muslim. It will show wife respect of husband, husband respect of wife, how you must bring up your children. There are many beautiful, inspiring talks. Talks by Nigrana Shura. Alhamdulillah, you got internet. Go and look at www.dawudislami.net and look at all the previous lectures of Nigrana Shura, of Amir al-Sunnah, and look at them, learn from them. There are many, in fact, many of these programs are now with subtitles in English, so there's no excuse that we don't know Urdu. So these are things that will help you in the dunya and help you in the akhirah. So the freedom is in your hand. That means the choice is in your hand. You either use your Allah-given abilities. That means use your eye for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Many people who are lost are today thanking Allah Azza wa Jal for Madni channel. Thanking Amir al-Sunnat for everything and what, this great favor. Inshallah, we make dua, Allah Azza wa Jal, we give us tawfiq to understand this message. And it's the little time that we have. Make tawbah for all the sinful activities we have done. And many people who, after adopting this parda, they have written books. They say, we find more freedom now. And people accept us as a person, not as a shape, as an empty outside shape. So this makes you feel a person. That means somebody honors you, it's not because of what you look, what you are. So, dear viewers of Madni channel, keep watching Madni channel. And also try and get this book, Parde ke baare mein sawal jawab, and try and read it. And inshallah, for those who understand Urdu, they got a lot of benefit, inshallah. In the future, this will be also translated into English. So we make dua, Allah will give us tawfiq to understand that this series is very important for us to watch. By making amal, inshaAllah, we will have the strength and the conviction to live by our Islamic value. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May